open your heart. I'm praying God will enlarge your heart to receive what Mark has for us today, because he wants you to know God as your Father. Yes. This could change everything for you. Amen. Father, I thank you for Mark. I thank you that you're going to use him today in a powerful way to speak words of truth to us. Lead him. Let him speak what you want him to speak. And Lord, we know when we hear things, sometimes we're hearing different things because you're speaking to us. So Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate this message and let it speak not just corporately, but individually to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you put your hands together and greet Mark as he comes to share with us?
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to you. I know that in some cases hearing that could be a point of gladness, and some could be a point of sadness, because there are certain experiences that we all have that are different from what others had. But I just want to let you know that God is good, and he is your Father, and he will make up the difference of the things that you felt like you may have missed in your natural fathering or what you received from your natural dad. Our Father can make up the difference. So, Father, I just thank you this morning as you just share with us your heart so that we can begin to embrace the joy of knowing you, Father, as our God, as our Father. So thank you, Holy Spirit, and thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to speak right now to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the stories I have is when I first became a father. It happened on August the 10th of 1986. That's my oldest daughter, Sarah Joy Harmon, was born. And one of the things that I had to deal with after coming back from the hospital is that I'm a dad. I'm a father. Wow. The idea of what that meant just blew my mind. I am a dad. And that was a dilemma that I had. How am I going to be as a father? I asked God, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to do it. I know that I've seen things, you know, from my father and seen things from other fathers and read things. And I realized and recognized that, you know, we as people, a lot of us, we have flaws in our life, don't we? We have shortcomings in our life, don't we? We make mistakes in our lives. Is that true? And I began to recognize, I said, God, I only have one shot at doing this, and I want to do it just right. Lord, I don't know what to do. And my father was just faithful to comfort me, and this is what he told me. He said, you have everything you need to be a father after my own heart. He told me, just walk with me, talk with me, listen to me, forget all the things that the world has shown you about fatherhood or anything that you think a father is like, and just do what I tell you to do. Stay in my presence, follow my lead, and everything will be all right. What God was saying to me, he said, you know what, Mark? The best thing for you to do is let me father you so you can father your daughter. And that's the greatest thing that, you know, God told me, the greatest advice he gave me that comforted me that day, is that I can depend on God to show me the things that I need to do. Not that I was the perfect dad, but at the same time, I had some point of reference that I can go to that will help me not to be a bad dad, not to be a poor dad, but to do the very best job I can do so I can say, God, you gave me these children, they're grown, and now I can hand them off and let you finish what you have started. But at least I did the job to my very best ability by letting God teach me. The thing I began to think about when I started thinking about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, is that God was his father. And I began to just think, wow, what would it have been like to be fathered by God? Think about that. Jesus was fathered by God. Nurtured, cared for, protected, provided for, all the things that we enjoy our fathers providing for us naturally, the Lord provided for his son, Jesus, in every aspect that you could imagine. I wonder what it's like to sit back and talk to God face to face, like some of us wanted to talk to our dads face to face, to hear his wisdom and to follow his direction, knowing this, that the identity that we receive as kids come from Daddy. Now, I didn't do it that way. God did it that way. That was his own way of making something a whole lot from a standard process easy for us to grasp. Our identities come from our father. Jesus' identity came from his dad. Jesus' purpose in life came from the Father God. Jesus' direction in life, his destiny, was given to him by his father. He set his life on course by listening to his Father God all the way through his time of ministry here on the face of the earth. It was at a young age that I began to realize that Jesus himself was so much coming under the direction of his daddy and was doing what his daddy told him to do that blew my mind, and it blew the mind of many other people as well. And you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It says right here, Jesus, he was 12 years of age. His family had just journeyed to Jerusalem, you know, before the Passover meal, or Feast of Passover was happening. And they were on their way back to Nazareth. And Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was in the caravan, you know, because he wasn't really walking step by step with them. But as they got to a certain point, they looked around and they didn't see Jesus anywhere. And they went back to Jerusalem, finding him as a 12-year-old inside the temple, talking to the teachers of the law and expounding the wisdom of God to these people who thought they knew it all. And they were amazed at this, of the son, this 12-year-old, and the things that came out of his mouth. Well, he got it from his daddy. He got it from spending time with his father. It also mentioned that in verse 4, he said, a child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And he increased in the wisdom and the stature and favor of God. You mean to tell me if I'm fathered by God, I increase in favor? I become wise? I become smart? Smarter than my pastor there? Yeah. But think about that. I mean, you are being fathered by the one who knows everything, the one who is everywhere, the one who created all things. That's your daddy. That's who is mentoring me, fathering me, causing me to develop and become something great that will give him all the glory, all the accolade. Like Jesus, when he was baptized, God said, "This is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him." Think about that. Would you want to hear your father say that? That's what Jesus' father said to him. But he increased. His identity came from his daddy. His direction came from his daddy. And the things that I recognize, happy Father's Day, as I said to all of you fathers, today I want you to know that there are some great things that happens because of father. If fathers take their rightful place in God and become the father that God intended for them to be, they will imitate and symbolize God to their children. Wouldn't that be so awesome? That you look at your daddy and you just do a double take. He's like God. Jesus looked at his father and it's like, you know, hey, what you see in me, you see the father. I mean, it's a double take. It's an imitation. You look at one, you see the other. Think about that. God has somehow graced fathers to have that kind of impact. And before we get into the message, I saw this, and this was something that was very, very interesting to me. When I begin to see why the devil fights so hard for our natural fathers not to be able to father us in the way that God intended, is because he knew the power of fathers and what the power of fathers influencing their children in their walk of faith would be like. This right here is Lifeway Research Group. They had done a research to see how impactful a father's life is in the family when it comes down to their acceptance of Christ and their church attendance. And it says right here, if a child is the first person in the household to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and attend church, that almost 4% of the family will follow. That's the children coming to know the Lord first. But if the mother comes to know the Lord first in the household and accept Christ as the Lord and Savior and attend church, 17% of the family would follow. But this thing blew my mind. If a father is the first person in the household to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and to attend church, that over 93% of the family would follow. You, as fathers, are anointed to transfer the spirit of the Father to your children, to give them a taste of what the Father is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. If they get a good taste from us as natural father, woo, the taste that they're going to get having a chance to be a byproduct of being fathered by the eternal Father is going to be totally awesome. That is a great call we have, dads. Our influence is great, and we shouldn't take that lightly. Because another stat that I looked at from called Crosswalk Groups, it said that there are over 70 million children in America, and over 38 million of those children don't even know or have a relationship or their fathers are absent. So why are we seeing such a downward spiral in our society among our children? It's because the impact of the father is missing. You can't replace it, no matter how and what people say. Dads make a difference, and you need to see yourself as a difference maker. Do not take it for granted, but realize and recognize you're on the front line. God is really, really, really saying to you and I as dad, I am confident in you that you're going to transfer everything to your children, just the way Jesus experienced being fathered by the Father, that you're transferring that to your children, that they will grow up like that, and they will be able to know God in a special and intimate way. In another verse I want to bring out before we get into the meat of our message, Galatians chapter 4, Paul says this, because you are his sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our heart, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. In me is already residing a desire to. But how many of us do that on a regular basis when we are in trouble? Or just when things are going well, we're spending time with him, we're communicating with him, which is so, so important. Because see, when I know God as Father, I can feel secure. I can feel safe. When I know God as Father, I can feel peace. I can live godly. I can be kind to my neighbors. I can be generous. I mean, it impacts us differently when we come to know God as Father. So here's what I want to do. I want to start looking at John chapter 14. Jesus came into this world for a specific reason. He says right here, beginning at verse 5, he was talking to Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Because Jesus was saying, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Where I am, you're going to be also. And Thomas, well, where are you going? He didn't know. And Jesus kept, reiterating, Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You know, nobody comes to the Father but by me. Thomas, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I am here to reconnect you to your Father that you've been in disconnect with. I am here to reestablish the relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. I am here to reintroduce to you your true Father. His name is God. And you know, God likes to be called Father instead of God. Because Father is more intimate. Father is more relational, you know? The world call God, God, but they can't call him Father. Because there's something special about that, that it relates to family, that I am a part of something big here. I'm a part of something great here. So I begin to realize, wait a minute, Jesus, Your primary reason for coming to earth was to reconnect me to the Father. Yes, I know it was for him to come and pay for my sins. Yes, I know without him there is no salvation. Yes, I know that by accepting him as Lord and Savior, I'm not going to hell. Yes, all that stuff I know. But what he really was wanting to do is saying, I want to emphasize the Father and knowing him, because all the other stuff are benefits of knowing the Father. You know, because if I'm connected with the Father, I'm saved. If I'm connected with the Father, heaven is my home. You know, all that is connected. So therefore, there is nothing that is missing when I have that kind of relationship with Father. Father, when I was telling you about my daughter, I said, Father, would you please father me so I can father this child you've given to me and my other three wonderful daughters you've given to me. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need everything that you have in order for me to raise a child after God's own kind that walks in this earth like Jesus walked in this earth. I need your help. I can't do it by myself. So therefore, I begin to realize. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think verse 11, God has put eternity in my heart. So that means eternity is in the heart of my children. The only person that can feel an eternal aspect of living is an eternal Father. I have to introduce that to my kids. Here is God, okay? Daddy's going to make some mistakes. But, you know, I'm no comparison to this God. Let me show you what he's like. And that's what Jesus was getting ready to do to Philip and explain to him. Let me show you how Daddy is. And what this daddy is trying to strive for, okay? I'm trying to be like the Father God. I'm wanting to imitate him to the best of my ability. But when it's all said and done, you know, charge my foolishness to my head and not my heart, because I'm going to give you the very best I can, but I'm going to stay as close connected to the Father as possible so you can see the genuine and that you can grow up with that as your image. People are always looking for things to be satisfied with. What can satisfy you? You know, people have lots of money and it doesn't satisfy them. People have lots of fame. They have a great career. People looking, it's like, well, maybe if I get married, I'll be satisfied. They're looking for all kinds of satisfaction, but there's nothing that can satisfy you like the Father, and this is what we're going to go into. John chapter 14, if you see the scriptures up there, we're going to go through that and we're going to share with you a little bit more. So verse 7, Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. He's telling Thomas this. Then Philip come up and he's asking a question. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And I was kind of contemplating, Philip, what are you talking about? You watched this Jesus turn water into wine, raise the dead, feed the 5,000. You know, cast out devils, heal the sick. I mean, he was there front stage, looking at all this happening. Jesus said, listen. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But Philip was wanting more. Philip was saying, you know, I understand that, Jesus. But here's something different. I watch you operate. I've seen you do things. And I know that as people, we get our identity from daddy. Who's your daddy? I want to know your daddy like you know your daddy. The wisdom that you walk in and operate in, you know, your Father gave you that. I want that wisdom too. Can I talk to him? Can I have that relationship that you have with the Father that you speak of? Can I have that same relationship? The idea that, you know, he's sitting there thinking that, wow, Jesus, you're so content. You're so satisfied in your walk. You're not panicking, feeling anxiety. You're just going about your Father's business, being cool, calm, and collected. I want that too. So Philip was saying, show me the Father that it will be enough for me. It will be all that I need to be satisfied. That's what sufficiency is. I want to know so I can be satisfied. I want to know so I can be calm. I want to be content. I want to be whole like you. Who is your daddy, Jesus? Can I go to his house and spend time with him? I need to know. I need to know. What would cause me to see the Father like you see the Father? Jesus, what would cause me to know the Father the same way you know the Father? What would cause me to experience the Father that you talk about, Jesus, the same way you experience it? I want to experience that same experience. What would cause me to have that same relationship that you have with the Father? I want to have that same relationship. I want to have that same that revelation like you have. And Jesus said, that's why I come to show you the way. I come to bridge you back in a relationship so that you can have that. And when I saw that, I said, oh my goodness. Philip was helping me to realize and recognize I need to have such an intimacy and connection with the Father that I am walking with the eternal Father in the same manner that Jesus walked with him. So what can be imparted into me, the same thing that was imparted into Jesus, so I can really live in this world like God's son, like a child of God, like a person that is going to reflect, you know, the characteristics of the Father to my children, to my wife, to my friends, to my coworkers. I need that. I have to have that. So that's what he was saying. He's saying, show us the Father. And Jesus was saying, have I been with you so long you haven't seen the Father? You know, show me the Father. That was the cry of Philip. But he was not saying, show me like this. He was saying, cause me to know. Cause me to have a revelation. Cause me to have the experience. Cause me to embrace what you're embracing. Because I want everything that you have. Because Jesus knew that the most important thing for his children is to know their daddy. In the natural world, the most important thing for a child in this life is to know their father. But the devil has done a tremendous job in creating disarray with that whole process. And kids take the idea of looking at their natural dad and they're trying to compare the eternal father with that. There is no comparison. None whatsoever. I am trying to imitate him. He is not trying to imitate me. Okay? I'm trying to be like him. He is not trying to be like me. So our kids depend on us to show them the Father so it can be sufficient for them. As Philip said, so it will be satisfying for them, that it will meet their needs. It will make them whole and content. I need that. I need to know how to do that to my kids. And the only way I can do it, I got to get it from my daddy. So the other thing I got from Philip is this, as we get back into the scripture. You can know Jesus as your Lord and still not be satisfied. You can know Jesus as your Savior and still not be satisfied. You can know Jesus as King and still not be satisfied. Because there's only one thing, and all those are important, okay? But there's only one thing that brings satisfaction, and that's knowing God as Father. It puts all those things in perspective. When I know as God as Father, I know Jesus as King. I know Jesus as Lord. I know Jesus as Savior. Because God, knowing God as my Father, gives me an illumination of seeing what that really is and what that's really all about. That's important. So as we go to the next point, because I'm going to skip over to something here because I want to get some more things to you. It is in knowing the Father that we come to understand our true identity, our true purpose, our true destiny. Jesus' identity came from knowing his Father. His purpose came from knowing his Father. His destiny came from knowing his Father. He said that in John 8, 29. You know, he said right here, and he that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I always do those things that please him. He says in John 12:49, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but my Father who sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. In John 5:19, he said, I only do those things I see my Father doing. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only those things he see the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. That's what Philip was looking at. I want that. I want that too. I want to speak what my Father speaks because I speak with him. I want to do what my Father is doing because I walk with him. I see him. I want to imitate him. I want to be a person that reflects his image just like Jesus did so that others can see what the Father is like. That image should be reflected when you're on your job. It should be reflected when you're in your church. It should be reflected when you're in your marriage. It should be reflected when you're in your family. You should be showing that. We need to be showing that 24/7. What God is like when he is given the opportunity to be illuminated in a situation where we're showing what the Father is like and who he is. It is knowing God as Father that I understand that he is greater than anything that I might go through in life. Some of us have had stories and some of us have gone through things that nobody should have ever gone through, that their fathers may have put them through, or life itself may have put them through. But God, because when I know him as Father, what I do understand is whatever my past is like, God is greater than my past. He's bigger than that. And so he says here in John chapter 10, looking at verse 28, it says, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So you're not going to be snatched out of Jesus' hand. But he goes on and says this. He said, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, I had this here, and I had it backwards the last service, so we're going to do it right this time. The mathematical equation of greater than, okay? We have lesser than. We have greater than, all right? Here we see John saying and showing us whatever you know about your Father, when you know him, everything about your Father is greater than anything that you could imagine. And if we develop that mindset because we come to know the Father, instantly what comes to my mind, my Father is greater than. Okay? Now, I have over here, I have my personal failures. I have over here my stupid mistakes that I've made in life. I have over here my mess ups. I have over here, you know, the abuses that happened to me, the mistreatment, the injustice that is over here, my defeats, you know, when life has beat me down and done me wrong, you know, when I committed sins that I think that it is so bad, there is no way God can forgive me. When I'm recognizing I'm so imperfect and I'm so lacking in my character that there is no way I can ever be anybody or anything. And the devil has beat me down so much that there is no way I can get up. You add that all together, my Father is greater than. My Father is greater than all that. My Father, okay? Which means that from a natural standpoint, we're not looking at the natural dad. Hopefully the natural dad has pointed us to a direction of knowing the greater than. So whatever you're going through today, you know, if you have marital problems, my Father is greater than my marital problems. He can fix it, okay? You got to start crying out to your Father. My Father is greater than any kind of family issues or family impact. My Father is even greater than the reports that may have came from the doctor about me. My Father is greater than that. Legal problems I'm going through, financial problems I'm going through, you know, job layoff, whatever it is that we see, COVID, my Father is greater than that, okay? As soon as things are said in this world, the thing that comes to my mind, my Father is greater than. That is when I know you know the Father. Because Jesus is like, hey guys, you know, remember Lazarus? Lazarus is dead, Jesus. Why are you going to see him? Because my Father is greater than. And when he got there, he said, move the stone away. And he said, Father, and he began, Father, he connected, Father, I thank you that you hear me. He did that for the people around him. No, my Father is greater than. Lazarus, come forth. And he come hopping out of his grave because my Father is greater than. You've got a father like that. Knowing him will instantly make you realize he's greater than anything and everything, and there is nothing over here that can offset this. He's greater than. I was even looking at some stats of our generation. I said before that there is over 70 million kids in America. 38 million kids don't even have a relationship with their father. Their father is absent, or they've had abuses and things like that. 38 million. And I start looking at these stats, and I'm not trying to bash families of father, but because of being people being broken and fragmented and things happening in their life, they're separated from knowing God the Father. 80% of all rapists comes from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth who are incarcerated come from fatherless homes. 90% of all the gang members come from fatherless homes. And there is even more. Suicide rate is 5 times higher, you know, in fatherless homes. Youth are 14 times more likely to commit rape because of a fatherless home. 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. 3 times more likely to be in poverty. 30 times more likely to be a runaway because of the absence of the influence of the father. I am so grateful, because some of you probably experienced things that nobody should experience, that we have a father that can fix it all. We have a father that can repair the breach. We have a father that can take all of that bad stuff and make what was a victim into a victor. That's knowing God as Father. That's why our kids need to know in this day and age who their father is. We cannot overlook the importance of a father. We see a rise of crime, mass shootings in our community, increased hatred. People keep talking about racial division or national conflict. We see in our community drugs, sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, mental health issues, and it goes on and on and on. And it has nothing to do with color of your skin. It has nothing to do with your cultural heritage. It has nothing to do with you being rich or you being poor. It has everything to do with the fact that we don't know God as Father. He can repair it all. He's greater than all that. He's bigger than all that. And there's nothing that he cannot do. So the solution to all those problems is my Father is greater than all. That's what Philip, show me the Father, that it'll be something that I will be content and satisfied, knowing that my Father is greater than all. Let's look at the prodigal son. Let's look at his life a little bit here in Luke chapter 15. It starts out by saying, then he said, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of the goods that fall to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. You know, your father has many blessings stored up for you, and he doesn't mind sharing with you. The only problem is that you cannot separate yourself and benefit from the blessings that came from the blesser. Here, the prodigal son, give me my heritage. I'm going out. I'm going to have a good time. Bye, Daddy. He separated himself from his father. Let's see what happens to him. In verse 13, not many days after, which means it didn't take long for his life to go down the toilet. I mean, when you separate yourself from Daddy, you're going down fast. He went down fast. That money was gone. Like that. And the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and he wasted all the possessions as in prodigal living. In other words, as soon as he separated from the father, he lost everything. You know what? In this life, you can't keep anything in this life. But if you're walking with the Father, there is nothing in the blessings. There's nobody that can take it away from you because it came from the blesser. He bless you. He give them to you, the things that pertain unto life and godliness. So here's his son. He's now has wasted everything. He's making bad choices. He's living wild. He is stuck on stupid because he separated himself from the Father. And he's lost his mind. He don't know whether he's coming or going. Okay? In verse 14, but when he has spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Here's this guy. I got money. He go out there and spend it all. Now he is out there waddling with pigs and eating with them, separated from the father. When you leave daddy, it's all downhill from there. And the devil have a good time getting us to think that it's okay to separate ourselves. You can't do that. You have to press in, keep that relationship intimate. So he distanced from his father. He started living filthy. He started mismanaging all of his money. He became a beggar. His self-worth was gone. He had no values. He was humiliated. He was like an unbeliever. But he came from his father, but that's what happened when he separated. When you know God as Father, you're blessed and all is well. But when you decide not to let him be Father, everything seems to go by the wayside. Let me go to this one here. Verse 16. It says, and when he was gladly have filled his stomach with the pods. In other words, he was satisfied eating the slop that the pigs were eating. Can you imagine? How low can you get? That's what happened when you separate yourself. Abba is not your father. Crying out, Abba, Father. When I'm in trouble, I cry out, Abba, Father. When I'm in pain, Abba, Father, when I'm in lack, Abba, Father. See, he didn't call out to the Father. He was trying to do it on his own, and on his own wasn't good enough. It kept him going down, 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 and he's sitting there eating with pigs. But when he came to himself, isn't that something? Eating with pigs, you recognize, this is not going in the right direction. A relationship with the Father will always keep you going in the right direction. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go back to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. All of a sudden, isn't this something? Isn't it nice to know that God is always there to take us back? All of a sudden, he came to himself. I will arise. I will get up. You know, a lot of times people don't get up. You know, they've been down so long that getting up won't even pass their minds. It's not even connecting. I don't care how low you get. There's always a Father that you can go to that will pull you up. So whenever you're struggling, whenever you're hurting, whenever you're in pain, when you don't know what to do, get up. Arise and go to the Father that you know is your daddy. Go to him. When you're struggling, say to yourself, I will arise and go to my Father. When I'm hurting, quickly say to yourself, I will arise and I will go back to my Father. When you feel that you're so deep in sin that you can't get yourself out of it, I will arise and I'm going to go back to the Father who knows you. And want you to know him is there to pull you out of everything and anything you could imagine. He is greater than everything. When tragedy strikes, when you lose your job, arise. That's what the prodigal son, I'm getting up from here. I don't have to be. My Father has servants that have better than me. But I want you to see what I'm getting ready to show you. The Father shows us here characteristics of how the Father God is. This is what I want to imitate too as a father here on earth. He said right here in verse 29, "And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your higher servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. There are a few things I want you to know. We have a father that believes in you even when you don't believe in you. You have a father that is always seeking after you when you're way out there. He is still searching and seeking after you. We have a father. It said right here, his father ran when he saw him. God will run after you seeing you come home. You have a father that loves you that much. I don't care what your experience have been. You got a father that is waiting for you to come home, who's greater than everything, who is running after you, who is seeking you so that he can restore you. He believes in you. You also have a father that gets so emotional when he has the opportunity to communicate with you, his child. The word compassion, he was filled with joy and emotion. His joy and emotion was so strong that when he saw his son, he grabbed his son who just came out of the pig pen, who was smelling and nasty. He was kissing all over this nasty kid. The father will take you as you are and bring you in, and he cleans you up. You don't have to clean yourself up to get there. That's the kind of father you have. He kissed on him. He loved him. He hugged him. He began to start, you know, we're getting ready to party. My son has come back home. Kill the fatted calf. Bring, he said later on, he said, bring me the best robe. He said, bring me a ring that I'll put on him. His sandal on his feet. You know what? That robe represents the righteousness of our Father. Back in right standing. As though sin never existed before. It's the best that the Father has. I have right here a t-shirt right here. You know, it says right here, I'll get that. It says right here that I took a DNA test and God is my father. Who out here need an extra encouragement to say, I need to have acknowledged that God is my daddy? Who out there would like to have this? Ah! Wait a minute. Well, I thought you had the best dad. Yeah. Oh, no, April, I can't do that to you. Here you go, April. Come on up here and get that. But you still have an awesome dad, okay? But you got to realize and recognize and have a mentality. I belong to God. God is my daddy, and there is nobody better. And whatever the situation and circumstances is, I can always call on my daddy and he will hear me and he will answer me and he will make me what I should be. Okay? I want you to see that. That ring. Put the ring on. It shows the Father's approval again. Put that ring on him. It shows that I restored the privileges and the authority. Put that ring back on him. I'm showing him that I restored his place back into the Father's house. I've given my son everything like nothing was ever missing because that's how much the Father loves me and you. He is there waiting to give us his very best. And the robe that he gave us was, I am his son and I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you think about me. The Bible lets me know righteousness is that. Sin never existed before in my life. It's been washed away by the blood, and there is no more remembrance. That is what this father did to his son. How much more? Ye being evil, the Bible said, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more would your heavenly Father give you good gift if you ask him? He's greater than. How many are glad that you have a greater than God? I got one more t-shirt. I don't know who I'm going to give this to. That's greater than what you said. Pastor, there's somebody you'd like to give this one to. Anybody that would love to sport and let people say, God is my daddy. Yeah. All right, I just want you to know that. Where is he at? Where's the new dad? The new dad is here? Or next to new dad? Because you have an anointing. You have, yeah, come on, yeah. You have an anointing in your life to transfer the father to your daughter. You have the anointing. I want you to know that. And we're going to watch your child imitate the awesomeness of God. Now I can see again. Thank you. But I just want you to know, God is eager and excited about you knowing him, because in knowing him, great things will happen and people will be blessed because of you taking the time to get to know your father. You walk this earth like Jesus, and you have Phillips asking you, show me the father. Hey, have you not seen me? If you see me, you see my daddy, because the things that I do is what he told me to do. Have that kind of persona about you so that people can see what the father looks like in this earth. That is, there's problems here. The last thing I want to say is this. If the church, universal, come to know God as their father, what kind of impact can we have in this land? The church struggle with them knowing the father, okay? Because if we call out to him, he said, if my people who, you know, are called by my name will call out and pray, I will heal this land. And God said, why is this land not being healed? They don't know the father like they should know the father. We're going to be challenged. Let's get to know the father so we can start getting everything in order here, so we can put a stop to all this craziness that is happening, because we're going to show forth the Father in the earth. We're going to walk in this earth with the same tenacity as Jesus and see things turned around. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you so much for you being my daddy. Father me, Father. Teach me, Daddy. Show me, Daddy. Lead me, Daddy. Allow me to emulate you in everything, in your character, in your conduct, in your actions, that there is no doubt that my Father is God. And God is my Father. Let my light so shine that men will see the good works that come from me, but glorify you. I want to manifest you. I want to manifest your name, just like Jesus manifested your name, Father. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for you coming, Jesus, in this world to show me the way, to reconnect me. And there may be somebody out there that may say to themselves, I am not connected to God, that I don't know the way. Well, you can know the way right now. It's just by accepting Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you're going to be saved. That doorway, all of a sudden it's like, woo, Daddy, here I come. Let him overshadow you, overpower you with his presence, that this life becomes a point of being satisfied, that I don't have to replace that with anything or anybody. But the things that I do have is more enjoyable because I'm already satisfied, because the satisfier has given me the full satisfaction. God bless you. You're awesome. Happy Father's Day to you guys. And let God enjoy you and your presence today.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Thank you, Brother. Praise God. We're going to prepare our hearts now to receive the Lord's Supper. This is the table of greater than. And when you come this morning, I have a problem, and that sometimes I look at my problems and I think they're greater than, but they're not. They're not greater than, they're lesser than. They feel greater than. They're not. There's nothing I can think of that's greater than my Father. And I don't know what your one thing is today, but something Mark said really spoke to me in this service was a lot of people call God, God. But do they call him Father? People use God all the time. Well, God bless America. We just slip it in there. But when somebody calls him Father, he's still God. But now I'm entering into a greater relationship of intimacy with him. The prodigal son is a great story. It's your story. It's my story. Remember the prodigal son, he was willing to give up his sonship. He said, I'll become like one of the servants. The father said, no way. Ain't gonna happen. Yeah, but I've been bad. I don't deserve to be a son. Who feels that way this morning? The father said, your badness has nothing to do with it. It's about my goodness. My goodness is greater than your badness. Oh, but there was that other son, the elder brother. He got upset because God treated the prodigal so well. He showed him favor. He celebrated his return. He said, Father, I've done everything you've ever said. I've been good. But you've never thrown a party like that for me. He didn't understand something. Both brothers had the same problem. Neither one of them understood the heart of the father. The one son thought by being bad, he couldn't be a son. And the other son thought by being good, he would have the father's favor. They were both wrong. It's not your goodness. It's not your badness. It's God's goodness and God's forgiveness. And so as we come to the table this morning, Paul often tells us before we take the cup and bread, we should take time to look into our lives. I want to encourage you to look at it today as your father and look at it the way he looks at it. See your badness. Hey, that's pretty easy for me to see. I don't know about you. But would you at the same time see God's goodness and see it as greater than? This is the greater than table. And I'm going to invite you to come today. Notice the Father saw the Son a far way off. God saw you a far way off. Far away. He saw you before you ever saw him. He's been looking for you. He loves you. And he wants to draw you into this relationship. God, yes. Father, I want to see him as my father today. Amen. And one who didn't have a father growing up. That was a hard concept for me. What I knew a father wasn't. Is that what God's like? My father left. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll be the father you never had. Amen? Who needs to open your heart to that today? This is your chance. And if you've never trusted the Father and the gift that he's given to you in his Son, if you've never done that, I invite you for the first time today, come and take communion. Take it as an act of believing. Say, I believe this is true. I believe this is a greater than table. It's greater than all my sins and all my problems and all my... Some of you I know. I know you. You've been through some hard things lately. Some things I think, how do they do it, Lord? How do they get through that? There's only one answer. They have a Father who's greater than all of their problems. You ready to bring that today? Father, we come to the table. We see ourselves for what we are. We, like the prodigal, are fully aware of the smell upon us. We know where we've been. We see our brokenness. Well, I pray today we can see you as greater than all of our problems, and that we'd stop seeing our problems as and how great and powerful they are, but we'd see that you are the greater. Lord, would you help us come and embrace your heart for us? We declare today you are our Father, and we celebrate that at this table in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is greater than. It's greater than anything. The song we sang at the end of worship was restoring to us the amazement, the wow of what's been done for us. I pray that this next week that we will be able to tell others about our Father. I mean, it's true. We have a great Father, and I would like to speak of Him more. How about you? I would like to speak more. When we were at the boys' home this week, I didn't think it would affect me the way it did, but I saw it all for a moment. 56 years and all that had happened, most of it out of my control, and yet it was the Father pursuing me all the time. He saw me a far way off. You got anybody that's a far way off in your life right now? Maybe a child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a friend. I want you to know God sees them. He's pursuing them right now. Don't ever give up. Don't ever get up. You might look at it. It looks a mess right now. It does. It does. It looks horrible. But it was a reminder to me this week. It was good for me to go back there. I'll probably never go again. But it was good. It was good. And Cooper turned to me before we left. He said, "Grandpa, I'm the only one that's ever been here, right?" I never thought about it. I said, "Yeah. Yeah, my children haven't been here. Your great-grandmother was here, but my siblings haven't been here." And he realized he was standing in a special place of the past. He was connecting it to the future. I want you to know God's connecting everything to now, to this present day. Get your while back. Get your while back. This is so awesome. Father, we receive it in that spirit. What you've done for us. Lord, we didn't deserve it. You didn't make us beg for it. You just offered it freely to us. And I pray today we can take this cup and bread and we can call you Father and we can recognize the great work you've done in our lives. We celebrate that today on this most important Father's Day. We call you Father. And most importantly, you're calling us sons and daughters. Wow. We love you and we love each other and we receive this as a gift in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, stand with me if you can, if you're able. We're getting ready to leave. I don't know what your plans are today. We got big plans. We're family's coming, barbecue. We're even going swimming later on. But what it's really all about, it's just spending time together as a family. Let that be a shadow of the bigger family. In fact, next week, we're going to be Acts 2. We're going to finish chapter 2. Yes, we are. It's taken us 2 months, but we're going to get there. We're going to pick up the pace with chapter 2. Well, we're going to talk about doing life together as the church. They devoted themselves to something. And I believe God wants us to have the same devotion. And it's something we can only be together. And it's part of the family. That's why he called himself Father, because there's a family. If I got a father, then I probably got some brothers and sisters, right? And they're very diversified, but it's the family, and we're part of it. And I believe God's wanting to restore that to us in a fresh new way. So read ahead, read those verses, and when you read them, just ask this of the Lord. Say, "Lord, I'm going to read these verses because Pastor Joe's going to be speaking on it next week. But before he speaks, would you speak? Before he speaks, would you speak? Speak to me personally and get a piece of paper out and you write down what God says to you about these verses. And then we'll compare notes next Sunday. How's that? We'll compare notes because that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to look at it and say, speak to me, Lord. I've been thinking about it all week. And I can't wait to be here next Sunday. Mark, I love you, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray your blessing upon this church. I love them with all my heart, but you're our Father, and you love us even more. And you have a perspective that's a far way off. You even see our future a far way off. You already saw it. You've already been there. So we put our trust in you, and we call you Father today. We pray your anointing upon our lives as we leave here. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be here to pray with you. Please take your liberty before you leave. God bless you. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.